Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The strike will be lethal, precise and surprising, the words of the Israeli Defence Minister yesterday in a video describing the planned retaliation on Iran. The enemies have been engaged in this bitter shadow war for decades, but as Benjamin Netanyahu mulls a counterattack on Tehran following last week's barrage of Iranian missiles, there are fears the conflict could develop into an all-out confrontation between two dangerous military superpowers. Sunday Times journalist, author and former Newsnight diplomatic editor Mark Urban has been writing in recent days about whether a simple miscalculation could tip the region into a perpetual war, and he joins me on the line now. We're also joined by Ali Ansari, who is professor in modern history at the University of St Andrews in Scotland, and you're both very welcome to the programme. Thank you for being with us. Mark, I'm going to come to you first, because that prediction in your piece that we could be facing into a perpetual war, I think war terrifies people. But can I ask you what you made of those remarks by Yoav Gallant, which I mentioned there? They were broadcast hours after that meeting between Joe Biden and the Israeli Prime Minister. What did you take from those words?
Well, I take from it that the precise form of this Israeli counter-strike is still unclear, even probably to those at the centre of the decision-making. There's quite a broad range of possibilities. And I think following the conversation yesterday between Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Biden, there's slightly more optimism that some of the things at the higher end of that range, for example, an attack on Iran's nuclear facilities or its energy exporting terminals, like oil terminals and things like that, will not happen. That seems to be the American understanding of their conversation. So that still leaves quite a broad range of possibilities for the Israelis. I would just say just one final point, which is the idea of the danger of a perpetual war was voiced in my article by a former British defence chief. And he sort of said, look, if the Americans get drawn into this, the West could get drawn into a perpetual war. I think it's fair to say there already sort of is one between Iran and Israel. I mean, that's what all the firing of rockets by Iranian proxies since October the 7th last year has been about, and the Israeli airstrike on the Iranian missile supplies, for example, to their allies in Lebanon, all that sort of stuff. We have seen steadily ratcheting up for the past year, and it's part of a broader struggle between the two nations, in which, of course, the Iranians dispute Israel's right to exist.
Mm-hmm. Ali, to bring you in at this point and going back and focusing on those comments from the Israeli Defence Minister, the strike, the retaliation will be lethal, precise and surprising. Like, this is undoubtedly a really big moment for Benjamin Netanyahu, because we see America's perceived dithering over what's happening in Gaza, but we know that US voters back Israel over Iran. So where does that take us if this strike, this retaliation is lethal and precise?
Well, I mean, I think you're right in the way that Netanyahu has managed to sort of switch the narrative a bit, and particularly in his attack on Hezbollah. I mean, you know, Hezbollah has very few sort of certainly supporters in or any sympathy in America in the same way that the Palestinians might have. So he's redirected the narrative quite well. And I think at the moment, in terms of restraint, you know, the Americans obviously want to contain the worst excesses of what might happen. But I think at the same time, the Israelis, you know, are always playing, as with the Iranians, to be honest, a bit of a psychological game here, because, you know, they want to keep the Iranians on their toes as to what might or might not happen. I tend to agree with Mark, though, that I don't see that there's going to be, I mean, I can't see that they would necessarily attack the nuclear sites. I don't think that's actually within their capability to do so. I think oil targets, again, you know, what you're really doing, what the Israelis want to do, I think, ideally, is to target the regime and not the people. And that's going to require some very careful crafting, I think.
And we know from President Biden's almost throwaway comments last week that that seems to be where the Americans are at with this as well, right?
I mean, I think so. I mean, I think the thing is that they don't want to, you know, the the Iranians, you know, have continued with their bombast, obviously, after all this. I mean, they've said that mission was over and they've done their military targeting, but they've continued with a lot of the fairly sort of violent rhetoric. And this, to be honest, again, you know, on one level would be seen as an element of psychological warfare on their part, but it also invites a tough Israeli response, because the Israelis obviously want to make sure that there is no ability for the Iranians to strike again afterwards. So it seems to me that they're, you know, the Israelis, they're thinking about it, would be wanting to target as far as possible the military establishment, you know, the missile launching sites and all this sort of thing that would be possible targets in Iran. Mm-hmm. And in that sort of sense, to be honest, for most ordinary Iranians, they're probably not that sort of connected to their government in that sort of sense. I mean, it's a delicate one, to be fair, but it's one that would probably not get the same reaction in Iran if you were then to go and attack infrastructure, you know, economic infrastructure.
Mark, do you agree with that assessment, that the people in Iran perhaps are not connected with their government on this?
Well, Ali is a very wise observer of the scene there. So, yes, I do. And I think we've seen this at demonstrations and even at football matches and things, where spontaneous chants against the government's support, for example, for Hezbollah, and the money it invests in it, as opposed to spending it in Iran, have been a feature of some of the behaviour there of the Iranian public. So that is definitely true. I mean, listen, you know, you've got a lot of nervousness about this in Israel too. Big elements of the public who wonder what on earth is Netanyahu about to get them involved in, and are already quite exhausted from the constant alerts and the fact that, you know, loved ones may have already done reserve service in the military two or three times in Gaza and now in southern Lebanon. So, I mean, there are those restraints on both sides.
And what will be the American strategy, Mark, here, and the Western alliance? Like, will there be an attempt to rein Israel in here in the way that we saw after the Iranian missiles were fired in April?
Well, I mean, I think this is really interesting. I mean, there's been some evidence. I mean, originally, the Defense Minister Gallant was meant to be in Washington today discussing all aspects of this with his American opposite number, Lloyd Austin. And then Netanyahu stopped him because he wanted to have tight political control of this. Now, what was Netanyahu trying to head off? There's been quite a bit of speculation in the US media that the Americans would offer the Israelis all kinds of things, sort of continued supplies of certain weaponry, that kind of thing, in order either not to hit Iran back at all, or to do it in a near symbolic way, as happened after the April Iranian attacks on Israel, where they just seemed to strike one radar station in response. So there are still quite a lot of moving parts here. It would seem that the Americans expect something on a significantly bigger scale than that, but they're definitely trying to incentivize, as it were, the Israelis to do what they want. And possibly also that does mean that if what Israel does then sparks another escalation from Iran, which has said it might take out all of Israel's power stations, then things could ratchet up very fast indeed. And at that point, there could be American guarantees of much more substantial help to Israel. Mm-hmm.
But if America is trying to do that, Ali, trying to direct Israel when it comes to the response, we know up to now, since October 7th, the Americans have had very limited influence on Benjamin Netanyahu.
I mean, they have. But I think, you know, getting into a sort of a much larger conflagration with Iran would require the Americans. And so, I mean, for Netanyahu, it would be quite important that the Americans were on board. So presumably the leverage that they have there, as long as they're very clear, would be greater than what they've had to date. I mean, I think it's, you know, the point is that in some ways, vis-a-vis Hezbollah and Iran, the Americans are probably meeting the Israelis halfway in a way that they haven't done before. So there's probably a greater coincidence of interest here. There's not real love lost, you know, much love lost for Hezbollah or Iran among the sort of American political and military class. So it's a changed dynamic. And I think this is one of the points also both Mark and I were sort of trying to make as well in some ways, was this idea that, you know, the narrative has changed a bit, and the Iranians in some ways have miscalculated that narrative has changed. You know, the restraint is probably not as complete or not as emphatic as it was previously. And in this case, because of the greater coincidence of interest, they might actually be able to reach some sort of modus operandi on what they want to do.
So are you saying that the Iranian action, the latest targeting of Israel, could be a miscalculation?
In my view, yes. I mean, in the sense that, you know, what they would do, you know, previously, there was a little bit more telegraphing. I'm not quite as convinced as the Iranians were announcing it quite so publicly as people say. I think, you know, Western intelligence was also on the ball and there was a longer lead in time. In this case, you know, what you're seeing really is a response to an attack on Hezbollah. And as I said, there's no love lost for Hezbollah in America. So this idea, you know, it was very striking when Biden responded to the death of Nasrallah. He said, you know, a measure of justice has been achieved. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not, you know, it wasn't really a call for de-escalation in the way that it had been done before. So you can see there that there's probably a little bit more negotiation going on. And both sides are probably thinking this is a perfect opportunity actually to degrade Iran's military potential. I mean, it is Iran, in my view at the moment, particularly vulnerable to that. It's lost a lot of its deterrent capacity with Hamas and Hezbollah, and it's now limited really to these missile strikes, which, you know, depending on the quantity they throw, will be more effective simply on the basis of the quantity that they're throwing at Israel. But on the other hand, it's pretty limiting. I mean, it's not really something that, as we've seen recently, certainly is going to be a knockout blow for Israel in that sense. I mean, things could escalate, but, you know, obviously things could escalate in the other direction too.
And Mark, how do you think this changes the calculus for Iran's nuclear program, or does it?
Well, that's a fascinating one. Look, the expert opinion seems to be that they already have enough highly enriched uranium for a few bombs were they to want to put them together. And is also pretty doubtful about just how much of an effect military attacks on the facilities would have. You know, they might set things back by a year or that sort of thing. But I do think, just following up on your question and Ali's last point about the sort of change of dynamic, that this nuclear question, of course, is at the centre of traditional Western unease about Iran too. You know, President Biden made a big point of trying to get them back into the nuclear deal that was abandoned by Trump, but he's been unable to do so. And a lot of actions by Iran in the last year or two have changed the dynamic too. You know, the decision to send missiles to Russia for its war in Ukraine, that kind of thing, the extent to which Iran seems to be lining up with Russia, China and North Korea, part of the so-called axis of autocracies. And I think this is why, for example, Keir Starmer earlier this week talked about the malign influence of Iran. And some people were a bit surprised by that. But there's a real shift gone on, you know, in the intelligence and security agencies, the Ministry of Defence, that kind of thing, about perceptions of Iran recently.
All right. Well, listen, we'll leave it there for now. But it was a great pleasure and very interesting to talk to you both, Mark Urban and Ali Ansari, back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.